HSBC's quarterly profits up fivefold, and as U.S. tech giants head to Congress, a warning about the power of the internet.
We shape our tools, and then our tools shape us.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Europe's biggest bank, HSBC, has reported a more than fivefold rise in pre-tax profits for the 3 months to the end of September. The BBC's Karishma Waswani has more.
The spectacular rise in HSBC's pre-tax profits need to be put into context. The figures are coming off a low base in the same period last year. At the time, HSBC lost almost $2 billion from the sale of its Brazilian unit and from volatility in foreign currency movements. Group Chief Executive Stuart Gulliver attributed this quarter's strong performance to the bank's pivot to Asia. Since the 2008 financial crisis, HSBC has been cutting jobs and selling assets to make the group more profitable. Analysts say the bank's continued bet on Asia, one of the world's fastest-growing economic regions, has been part of its strategy to grow the business and make up for losses elsewhere. In Singapore, I'm the BBC's Karishma Vaswani for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets in Asia ended mixed, with Chinese stocks falling to their lowest point since August. Spain's IBEX surged up 1.45% or 147 points on news that Spain's government was taking control of Catalonia. U.S. oil prices hit a six-month high, $54 a barrel, after Saudi Arabia's crown prince backed cuts in output by OPEC countries. Now, this week, Facebook, Google and Twitter are set to appear in front of Congress. All three companies have admitted Russian entities bought ads on their sites in an effort to skew the presidential vote. Well, an annual report out by the Mozilla Foundation says globally, the internet has become sick. I asked Executive Director Mark Serman what symptoms the internet has been showing.
You know, elections are manipulated by sort of the nature of the internet. The sort of global trade wars are actually playing out on the internet. The EU just fined Google 2.4 billion euros just basically on a trade issue and an antitrust issue. So, you know, we're at a spot where we kind of feel like we've lost control of this thing, and maybe it's taking us in a direction that we don't like.
The internet, in other words, has been infected by the problems that we all suffer.
You know, you put the world on the internet, you get the world's problems on the internet.
So what kinds of changes do we need to see then?
We actually need to take our agency back as consumers, as citizens, and say we actually want to have some say over how this works, because we've really given that over to the tech companies. I do also think there is a role for governments in looking at where there's consolidation of power. Outside of China, for the rest of the world, there's five big tech companies who really run everything. And I think we're really getting to a place, and that's what the EU is calling at, where there's such concentration of power that we have to look at, does that break up? And, you know, do we need that to open markets? Which I think we do.
Now, you talk about people taking back agency. So here's my iPhone. The previous one dropped down the toilet. I can tell you that made me feel very, very free indeed. What can I do with this thing that gives me more control?
Well, I think there are two layers of it. One is just personally making choices that keep your information safe. But the other is, actually, I think we do need a social movement around these issues. And so in the same way it took people waking up in the 70s and 80s and saying, you know, the environment matters. Maybe you don't see it, but, you know, we want green products. We want regulation. So be demanding of the tech companies who serve us and ask your governments to do the same.
Mozilla's Mark Serman. The Macedonian capital Skopje has been changing its appearance after the former government initiated a controversial urban renewal project 7 years ago. It was billed as an effort to attract tourism. Some say the project has worked. Others say it's turned the city into Europe's capital of kitsch. The BBC's Ivana Davidovic has more.
No, no, it's catastrophe. Baroque in Macedonia. Stupid.
Welcome to Skopje, a small city that sparks a big debate among locals and tourists alike. The river Vardar is flanked by grandiose buildings sporting striking Doric columns. But it's when you stumble across the city's main square and find a replica of Paris's Arc de Triomphe. Then a few steps further, look up to find something uncannily similar to Berlin's Brandenburg Gate, you realise the city's architectural fabric isn't quite what it first seemed. Is this for real? Or perhaps what some have called the Las Vegas of Europe? Ivana Dragšić is a sociologist and has been at the forefront of the campaign against this makeover, which the former government started back in 2010.
It's a project that costs Right now, from publicly accessible documents, nearly as much as the yearly health budget of the Republic of Macedonia.
Architect Anna Ivanovska believes that Skopje's true identity is being erased by recent developments.
Huge amount of buildings that try to resemble European cities from the 19th century mostly. But the irony is that they are done in the 21st century. The whole idea to place them in a way to hide the previous modernist heritage of the city, it seems like a movie set, but unfortunately it won't go away.
But with Macedonia trying to build its global brand and attract visitors with cheap flights into Skopje, architectural preservation might not be the chief concern of the government. And it seems as if most tourists agree, with foreign visitor numbers surging in recent years to this often forgotten corner of Europe. For one of the project's original supporters, architect Vangel Božinovski, one old saying is irrefutable: all publicity is good publicity.
Skopje is full of people from every part of the world. There is some force that made it happen, because you have to be brave to spend, they say, 600 million. With that money, we are now entity.
So you're basically saying that with this project, Macedonia has put itself on the map?
Yes, I think that.
In Skopje, I'm BBC's Ivana Davidovic for Marketplace.
Finally, the US distributor of Corona beer has bought a stake in Canada's Canopy Growth, the world's largest publicly traded cannabis company. The idea is to make cannabis-infused beverages for Canada, where they're expected to become legal by 2019, and eventually in the US as more states decriminalize cannabis. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.